I'd like to thank SIU Professor of Constitutional Law, Stephen Macias, for joining us this morning. Professor Macias, first off, morning, sir. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You know, the decision by the Supreme Court on Friday, the NSA is doing the wrong thing when it comes to metadata, compiling large amounts of phone calls, probably inevitable, but still much talked about.
Yeah, so this was actually a decision by the Second Circuit Court out of New York, which is just one level below the Supreme Court. And they did hold that the NSA collection of metadata was inconsistent with the statute that Congress had written.
Do you find it interesting that even though they said it's illegal, and from the excerpts that I've read, very vehement on the subject, but at the same time they didn't issue an injunction, they didn't say stop?
That's right, and they explain the lack of an injunction by saying that this statute is set to expire on June 1st of this year. So within the next few weeks, they wanted to give Congress the opportunity to essentially respond to their holding.
And, of course, we're talking about a specific section of the Patriot Act, which seems to allow this. But you've got some people saying, hey, I want to continue, and some not. So is the court, in essence, saying, let's let Congress decide what's legal and what's not in this issue?
Well, I don't think they're saying that Congress is going... Well, yes and no. They want Congress to weigh in. So what the court held is that they didn't think, under their reading of the statute, that Congress ever intended for the NSA to be collecting all of this metadata. And the court essentially said to Congress... tell us otherwise if that was your true intention. And if that's the case, then the court would have to face the constitutional question of whether this was constitutional.
Yes, you're right. I remember they actually used the term ambiguous in referencing portion of the Patriot Act in
right.
this respect.
That's correct.
You know, but the same week, literally, you've got another judge in, I believe, New York Magistrate Judge Gary Brown, who says there is no expectation of privacy in telephone calls. Now, this is a different, of course, completely, but you still have other judges, and this is a federal judge, having different opinions about this. And when it comes to Judge Gary Brown's decision, which was involving a DEA a case, that there is no expectation of privacy, and if you want privacy, turn your phone off.
Well, you know, the Second Circuit recognized... So this is an interesting quote from the Second Circuit. They called this issue of privacy in telephones one of the most difficult Fourth Amendment issues of jurisprudence, and that is the extent to which modern technology alters our traditional expectations of privacy. So you're exactly right that there are disagreements about what sorts of privacy expectations we have in not necessarily the content of our phone calls, but the fact that we make phone calls to one another.
Yeah, and you know, is this in some respects because cell phones are broadcast as opposed to a wire? I mean, is that part of it? Because, you know, 30 years ago, the question of the government listening in on your phone calls would have been almost unanimously with just a repudiation, and generally across the field in this country. The idea that you could listen without a warrant, which was what this federal judge in New York said, yeah, they can, as long as you've got it on, you have no expectation. I mean, we've seen a dramatic shift here, but still some resistance, just as the case from the NSA, collecting a wholesale data. I mean, we're redefining where that line for privacy is?
Well, I think one of the... So the decisions from the Supreme Court concerning privacy are quite dated now. And certainly they didn't occur in the era of the cell phones, much less the smartphones. So I think one of the concerns is that smartphones and therefore phone calls, texting, are a larger part of Americans' day-to-day lives in a way that they weren't 30, 40 years ago. So one of the concerns is simply that the Supreme Court needs to reconsider where phone calls fit in the spectrum of individual privacy.
And you know what? There's a lot of people sitting around waiting for this to happen. I mean, if we had not learned about the NSA program, would we even be having this conversation and still be going on covertly?
Right. Well, that's a very good point. I mean, just a couple months before the Snowden revelation, which is what prompted this Second Circuit litigation, the U.S. Supreme Court had dismissed a challenge to a similar challenge, saying that the plaintiffs essentially couldn't prove that the NSA was doing this. And so it's very true that without these revelations, none of this would have come to light, and certainly not in federal court.
Are you starting to get a sense of where this would shake out, or is so many of these judge decisions, these court decisions, so different, so wide-ranging that it's rather difficult, because it seems like every day you can pick one side of the fence or the other it's going to fall to? We don't see a consistent trend, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's right. And two other federal appellate courts, the D.C. Circuit and the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, have cases very similar to the Second Circuit's case. So there's still going to be some waiting time to see just how much consistency there is amongst the federal circuits, and that could determine whether and when the Supreme Court takes up the issue. But I think a large part of this is going to depend on what Congress does in the next couple of weeks. Are they going to actually say, yes, this is fine for the NSA to do this, we want the NSA to do this, or are they going to pull back?
You know, as a constitutional, first off, I'm fascinated by your job, because, I mean, you'd think that the document this old would become, maybe irrelevant. Some people saying it is increasingly irrelevant. I was wondering if you had a feel for the future of the Constitution, a durable device, granted, but more and more you hear people in the upper echelon saying, hey, it's dated, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, well, you know, yes, I mean, it's certainly true that if the Supreme Court were to hold that activity like this vast bulk collection of telephone data was unconstitutional, they would be using the Fourth Amendment from the 1790s. But the Constitution was written in such general language that most judges agree that it can be adapted to modern concerns, modern technology, and so it really is a matter of a creative reading informed by the values that are important to people today, I think.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? The minute you said that, I kept thinking, you're right. It is written in such a term, you know, free speech will not be impeded. Mm-hmm. I mean, right, nice general terms, as opposed to today's laws, which are so specific, so huge, and laborious, that maybe those documents would become outdated before the Constitution would.
Well, you know, and the so-called great Chief Justice of the early Republic, John Marshall, one of the things he said that's very memorable from the early 1800s is that constitutions are supposed to be interpreted differently from statutes. Constitutions are meant to endure throughout the ages, and as you just said, statutes are temporary fixes to current needs and problems.
Great. Now, I've learned something today, and that's why you're a teacher. Professor of Constitutional Law, Stephen Macias. If you could hold tight, Professor, it'd be great. If you could hold tight,
yes.
Just a second, please. 729 News Radio, WGPF. Later this morning, we'll be talking about the Constitution in another respect, the state Constitution and the Supreme Court Illinois decision on Friday that the pension legislation is a no-go after waiting over 2 years to find that out. News Radio, WGPF. And overnight shooting is under investigation.